You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. It's the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Raining Jay. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to thank you for making us part of your daily routine. Shout out to all the new listeners, anybody who I might have met down in Charlotte. Spent a lot of time down in Charlotte, just direct marketing, Jay, handing out pamphlets. So any of you people who are I met on the street and you happen to sample the podcast, welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us. Hope you enjoy the Locked On Celtics podcast. We are coming to you after the Boston Celtics get blown out by the San Antonio Spurs 115-96. We're also going to talk about the 124-117 loss to the Charlotte Hornets, blowing an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter. We are the Rain and Jays. I am John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for MassLive.com, joined by Jay King, who covers the Celtics for The Athletic. Let's just dive in to this, Jay. Basically, this game against the Spurs, it was LaMarcus Aldridge just demolishing the Celtics, getting past Aaron Baines pretty easily, and then feasting on anybody else the Celtics tried to throw at him.
Yeah, and they didn't even make it tough. Like, it was... LaMarcus got whatever he wanted. And granted, it was going to be a tough night for the Celtics with Al Horford out and with Aaron Baines just back off an ankle injury and with your backup being Daniel Theis, who has trouble with bruising big men, or Gershon Yabusele, who has never been Mr. Reliable off the bench, rarely plays. So... This was a matchup the Celtics probably looked at and were like, uh-oh, this could go poorly.
Yeah.
I don't think they anticipated 48 points on 23 of 34 shooting. Probably not something they anticipated, but he just torched them. He torched them inside when they sent doubles. He found cutters. He found guys open on the perimeter. He just decimated them. It didn't matter what they tried. Doubles weren't effective. Single coverage, he destroyed. The Spurs just picked them apart. And the issue isn't that LaMarcus Aldridge killed them and that the Spurs, who have been one of the better offenses over the past however many months, scored so many points. It's the Celtics have been getting gashed by a number of different types of players lately, and their defense has been bad, bad, bad for almost 2 months now.
Yeah, the defensive effort has been very subpar. What these guys are doing is, and Brad Stevens alluded to it. I don't think that when he said after the game that he hasn't been part of a team that's been so dependent on the shots. I forget exactly. I don't have it right in front of me, but he was asked about the Celtics' reliance on shots, and he basically said, nope, I can't find it. Never mind. But I think what he was getting at is that I think the Celtics are – their defense is impacted by whether or not they make shots. Like, it's not just whether or not they make shots that they score. It's whether or not they make shots that they give effort in other phases of the game. And I think that's the biggest problem here, or one of the biggest problems for the Celtics, is that mentally – the big umbrella for the Celtics of things that are wrong, it's mental. All of their problems are up in their heads. It's not that they're not fast enough. It's not that they're not big enough. You know, they maybe some of that stuff, but generally they match up. They can put matchups out there to deal. They have the potential for a big lineup. They have a potential for a small lineup. They can do a lot of these things physically, schematically, strategically. They can do all that stuff. Mentally, if their shots aren't falling, then they get frustrated. They put their heads down. They don't run back and play aggressive defense. It's also much more difficult to go back and play defense against a team that's grabbed a rebound and is running out in transition versus setting your defense. So there is some of that going on as well. But they mentally, they are not able to get past certain hurdles. And you just wonder whether they will ever be able to clear some of these mental hurdles, because it takes a lot of strength to say, I'm shooting like shit. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to run back and play exceptionally hard defense to make up for the fact that I can't shoot tonight. What the Celtics are doing is, I'm shooting like shit. Now I'm going to feel sorry for myself. Oh, there goes my guy back door. Or I'm not going to help the way I was supposed to. Or I'm going to switch versus drop in the pick and roll coverage and stuff like that. So that is where they really get hurt.
Let's put some numbers to this. Since February 1st, the Celtics are 19th in defensive efficiency. 19th. There is not a single playoff team that has been worse than them during that stretch.
That's brutal.
They are 11-12 over that stretch. They're 6-10 after the All-Star break. They have been playing like a bad, bad team. Their starting lineup, the usual starting lineup, has a minus 5.5 rating since February 1st. And I think part of the issue for Brad Stevens, who admitted he thinks about changing the starting lineup every day, and that's not something that's abnormal for him. He actually says all the time he thinks about the rotation every day. That's just something a coach does. But in this case, starting lineup has been really bad. And what's tough for him is, like, he hasn't been able to rely on different aspects of his team. It's like Marcus Morris was his second best player for a while. Well, then he went ice cold. Or the original starters stunk. Then you change up the starting lineup. That's like a fascinating hit for a while. Then that goes ice cold. Can't get stops. Can't shoot the ball. The transition defense has been nowhere. The bench, sometimes the bench is a huge plus. Sometimes it just stinks. It's like, what do you rely on? What moves do you make when every part of your team is inconsistent? And it's been like sometimes things work, sometimes it doesn't. There hasn't been anything Stevens has really been able to rely on through a lot of this season. And I do think he's probably wanted to change the starting lineup lately, but Horford's been out of the lineup. Hayward's been out of the lineup. Tatum missed tonight's game. Aaron Baines, who they need off the bench, he missed some games. So the lineups that Brad is probably thinking of trying, he hasn't been able to do. And so he probably wants to make some changes. Those haven't happened. It's been a mess. And granted, Horford and Tatum were out, but the Celtics, that's four straight losses. They got the Denver game. They fell apart after the third quarter, the disastrous end of the third quarter. The Philadelphia game, they led by God knows how many, 18 points, coughed up all that, let Embiid and Jimmy Butler destroy them down the stretch, had big mistakes defensively down the stretch. This game, they just got decimated. It's just been an ugly, ugly. In the Charlotte game, they gave up a 30-5 run to end the fourth quarter. This has been like just one disaster after the next.
Yeah.
And it's bad. It's bad right now.
But it's bad, and yet in the locker room, I wouldn't be able to guess that team in that locker room, the way they're talking, is a fifth seed that just fell two games behind the four seed, that just lost their fourth game in a row, that just blew an 18-point fourth quarter lead, that just got blown out. They're talking like, yeah, we're fine. Like, Kyrie is like, yeah, no, we've been able to respond. Okay. Marcus Smart saying, yeah, I feel great about our progress. Once we get this clicking, we'll be good. Like, okay. Either you're super arrogant and you don't see the problems in front of you, or they are super, super cool and this really is not a big deal, and we'll come back and laugh at this. And we won't know which it is until the whole thing is over. This run is over. But listening to these guys tonight, they just seem like, yeah, but you know, once we get healthy and once we clean up a couple of things, we'll be okay.
Yeah, well, they've been getting their asses kicked, so.
Yeah. Yeah. it's a weird dynamic. They took extra time. We're still not sure exactly what that post-game meeting that Brad Stevens says was not a meeting was all about.
When you meet for more time than you normally do, I'd suspect it's a meeting.
I would, too. Marcus Smart said it was, oh, we're just watching game film. I don't think they were just watching game film. Or somebody called up game film and they were all yelling at each other or something. But that wasn't just a, oh, let's get together and watch some film.
Greg Monroe just wanted to say hello to everyone again. Icebreakers with Greg Monroe.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what else there is to say about the San Antonio game other than, you know, that it just looked like two teams that were in very different places. The Spurs, they move the ball so well. You have perfect defensive rotations, and the Celtics defense is very far from that. You always tell where the Celtics are a step slow defensively when you have two guys flying out at a shooter trying to challenge a shot. And I saw that probably 2-3 times in this game. The rotations were way, way off. You never have an opportunity to really close out a team or shut down a team that moves the ball as well as San Antonio when you can't be on the same page. You need to be on the same page. But there's always a but with this team. No Horford, no Tatum. I mean, those things are big deals. Baines just coming back. There are mitigating circumstances. It's just with this team. All right, let's why don't we take a break, come back. We're going to discuss a little bit more about the Charlotte game. We'll talk about that a little more specifically. But I just want to, again, all of you new listeners, if you're just checking us out, maybe you're on Twitter or whatever, you can get the Locked On Celtics podcast on and basically anywhere podcasts exist, including this new podcasting app called Himalaya. It's always on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And you can, of course, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Celtics, whether you're in your car, whether you're in your home. So get the show every day. Subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast, again, on the new Himalaya podcast app, wherever podcasts are available. Down in Charlotte, the Boston Celtics led by 18 with 8:20 to go in the game. Everything was seemingly good. The Celtics were kind of cooking. They held Kemba Walker mostly in check. He had 18 points going into the fourth quarter, but it took a lot of shots, and he was not his usual self. And things were great. And then Jaylen Brown hit a couple of shots. He was super, super hot in that game. And then all of a sudden, Hero Ball came out. And once Hero Ball comes out, Jay, then the Celtics are screwed. It happens time and time again. Whenever the Celtics do have a big lead, and they've had plenty, these guys just say, great, now it's my turn. And they can't seem to handle when one guy is going great. Like, I'll go back to the Spurs game. LaMarcus Aldridge in the first quarter just dominated. He had 19 points. And if he was on the Celtics, I feel like after he had scored 10, someone else would have been like, okay, you got your 10. Now I want to score. But the Spurs just kept giving it to him. The entire quarter, he touched the ball on maybe all but five possessions, maybe. they kept on going to him. Even if there was nothing there, pass it back out, work the ball around, or he'd get an assist. The Celtics don't do that. They just they get to that 20-point lead and they think things are safe and they start saying, "All right, I'm going to throw the knockout punch or I'm going to get the big shot and I want a piece of the glory." And that, above all else, that is I think one of their biggest problems this year. They can't just finish games off. They can't just let things happen and whomever is the big scorer that day is the scorer that day. Everybody wants a piece of the pie.
They've had some serious, serious defensive execution issues lately, too. Like, they've had defensive miscommunications. They've had, like, guys leaving great shooters to send help instead of leaving the worst shooters and helping off the right guys. The transition defense has been rough, just ragged, just giving up points left and right. I mean, they've been killed by point guards, Lou Williams, Kemba Walker. They've been killed by a shooting guard, Zach LaVine. They've been killed by big men, Joel Embiid, LaMarcus Aldridge. They've just been killed. And this is a defense that should be one of their strengths. And obviously, Aaron Baines has missed time. Al Horford has missed time. Gordon Hayward has missed time. Jason Tatum has missed time. Good defenders have missed time. But when you look at the Celtics team, what should separate them is that they have a lot of switchy athletes and that they have the versatility. And that when guys go down, they should have other guys to step in. And the defense has just been a mess lately. It's been a real mess. And it's, I mean, 140 points against the Clippers. They gave up a ton of points down the stretch against the 76ers. They gave up 30 to 5 run. Kemba was just torching them. Kyrie was ripped about the defensive schemes on him. But players did come out kind of optimistic today. And Brad said one thing was that wants them to stop riding the emotional roller coaster. So maybe that was part of it. Brad told him he wants them to stop riding the emotional roller coaster. And he was like, okay, we'll at least pretend like things are okay tonight.
Yeah, they have just bad habits. They're bad habits. And that's just, I just don't know if they can or if they will. They can. They have the ability to, if they will, fix this in time for the playoffs. And will guys in the playoffs do what they need to do versus what they want to do? And that's what we were talking about with Marcus Smart a little bit. That these guys, he's talking after the game about getting guys into the positions where they can do the things that they love to do and want to do and all of that stuff. But a lot of these guys do the same thing. Like Tatum and Brown and Hayward and Rozier, guys that can handle the ball and want to drive and want to score and want to shoot. And some guys pass more than others, but all of those guys, Kyrie, like to varying degrees, they all want to do the same thing. And they can't all do the same thing. You need different guys to do different things. And these guys have to be okay with not being the scorer or not being they have to be okay with, I'm going to buckle down and be the defensive presence that this team needs me to be. That's what they're missing. They have the ability to do it. We've seen it. We've seen Terry Rozier play good defense. He can be a very good defensive guard. He could be pretty good off the ball. And he can hit clutch shots. We've seen him do it. But I know he's a real popular target for singling out. But that's the type of thing that they need to stop. That's where they are. I don't know how much else there is to say with these guys. They go to Cleveland, and who knows who's going to play in Cleveland. If they lose to the Cavaliers, then, oh, my God, there's going to be all kinds of craziness. They're now two games out of the fourth seed. And I know they play Indiana twice, but they are in danger of having to play every series starting on the road. And that's extraordinarily difficult. I don't know, has a team ever won a championship doing that? I can't think of one.
Rockets, maybe? In one of theirs?
Yeah, maybe. Not that I should be thinking championship with this team, but, you know, I know how silly that sounds, but that's just to illustrate the point that it's very difficult. It'd be a very difficult run.
Kyrie made a couple of championship references.
Shocking that he would do that. I'm going to get on my VersaClimber and get to the next segment on this show.
Gotta get on the VersaClimber.
Which is going to be a few of your tweets. I would say normally we're going to hand out tacos, but who the hell gets a taco in a four-game losing streak? Nobody. No tacos this week. Unless Jay has a taco.
I got no tacos.
We'll hit your tweets after the break and then come back to finish up the Locked On Celtics podcast. Stay with us. We ask you to tweet us, hashtag Rain and Jays, or Rain and Junk. I don't know if we're going to get to any of the junk. It's not a junk mood kind of thing. But here are your questions via Twitter with the hashtag Rain and Jays. And we're going to start with at Joey Angus 11, at Joey Angus 11. Are the Celtics worst rebounding team in the league? No. I don't think they're the worst rebounding team in the league, but they're not a good rebounding team, especially without Al Horford there. But watching them get decimated over and over and over again by offensive rebounds, it's brutal to watch. And I think that's a function of being pulled out of position when you're not clean with your rotations and when you're not disciplined with your closeouts and guys are running all over the place. That just allows other teams to come in and just kill you on the offensive boards. Even when the Celtics do get stops, they have so many offensive rebounds that they give up that they can't finish off the defensive stop. And it's that part is decimating to a defense.
Yeah, and the Spurs in that sense were a tough matchup. Jakob Poeltl is about as tall as any power forward you'll play in the NBA, and Marcus Morris had that matchup, and there were a couple times Poeltl just had size rebounds where he just kind of reached over the top and got him. Rudy Gay, he's a big, strong wing. He had at least one offensive rebound I can remember. So it wasn't all just breakdowns. Some of it was size and missing Horford. But the Spurs, they had Aldridge was absolutely cooking from the start. He had, I think it was 16 points in the first quarter, and they still offensive rebounded 7 of their first 17 misses. Like, they were barely missing, and they were still getting offensive rebounds on almost half their misses. It was not a good showing for the Celtics defense, and they just weren't stopping it early. They're not the worst offensive rebound team, but ooh, it was ugly. Ugly tonight.
The worst rebounding team in the league, by the way, is Phoenix, Washington, Chicago. Boston is like middle of the pack defensive rebounding, and they are 22nd in rebound differentials. So they are getting out-rebounded by 1.5 rebounds per game, 46 to 44.5. Those are your actual statistics there. Let's get to at Trav_Lewis. It's the third quarter, and I'm confused why we haven't tried Shemi or Moose on Aldridge. The Baines-Tice combo isn't working. Well, let me tell you something. Greg Monroe was not going to work on LaMarcus Aldridge unless he fell down and physically injured Aldridge. That would be the only way he could stop him, because of all of the defenders the Celtics have, Greg Monroe is the worst. Shemi, you could try it. I actually thought they might start Shemmy instead of Baines because I thought maybe because of the minutes restriction. Problem with Shemmy, he's strong, but he is not tall enough. And LaMarcus Aldridge just got that high release, and you just pop him in the post and shoot right over the top of Shemmy.
Yeah, he just shoots right over the top of guys. And he's an ox, too.
He's a big
dude. Who works really, really hard to get good position. I mean, he's a bear down low. He's an absolute bear. And when he's feeling it from mid-range, he's so tall and so strong and has such good touch, there's not a lot you can do. But the Celtics, like, he didn't even feel them for a lot of his shots. And that was the issue tonight. He just didn't feel them. They weren't impacting his shots in the least. The help wasn't right. When they did double, they got beat on the weak side. It was, ugh, just gross.
It was indeed gross. At @Trav_Lewis again, the bench already playing with more excitement from any Celtic since the Golden State game. I think that was at the end of the game when they came in and played kind of tough, but you can't count garbage time. At B. Patriquin, I haven't been this apathetic about a team since the tank year. I think there's a lot of people who are kind of in that boat now, that they are just sort of done. Like, they're done. And maybe playoff time they're going to come around, but people are disinterested. And this team has done nothing to inspire any hope from any of these guys.
Everything is doomsday, isn't it? It should be doomsday. And Brad Stevens was kind of like, yeah, we just have to show that we can get off the mat and be resilient. He's like, I know we haven't given anybody reason to believe we can be. Like, oh, okay. Okay, Brad. Some honesty there. But
yeah. And this is the time of year where it's like the criticism gets a little bit more biting. That's about as biting as criticism gets from Brad Stevens. But I think he's just been – it's been interesting to see how he's reacted after games because it feels like he's just much more likely to sort of say – like when we say, oh, yeah, defense really looked shitty out there, and you'd be like, yeah. And then sort of kind of add to it, but like he's just kind of like, yeah, I got no answers. Which people are, you know, criticizing him for, like the rotations are an issue. I personally, I don't know if you agree with this. I personally think that he feels like if these guys would just do the damn thing that he wants them to do, they'd be able to fix a lot of these things. If these guys just accepted roles and bought in, they'd be able to do the things that we have been talking about and what fans want them to do. And I think he's giving them every last bit of rope. Like he is just giving them every opportunity to fix it on their own, because come playoff time, he's going to fix it for them, or he has to fix it for them, or he should fix it for them. But he can't go into the playoffs and say, okay, we're going to keep on going with the way things are going. Like, he's got 2 weeks for these guys to finally fall in line and say, okay, what do you need me to do? I will do what the team needs me to do, and we'll figure the rest out later. And then come playoff time, guys, you just can't play certain guys. And he's going to have to play guys 40 minutes, which means Marcus Morris's minutes might shrink a lot. You can't have Marcus Morris out there shooting the way he's shooting. You can't have guys out there being cold, and you can't give them an opportunity to come out of it. So I think he's giving the regular season to these guys to like figure this out on your own before I have to do things differently.
Yeah. Do you think he should be harder on them?
I think more
of a taskmaster. Like go Tom Izzo on their ass?
No, I don't think he's going to go full Tom Izzo. I feel like he can get a little bit more Greg Popovich. But I do think that one of the risks when you're a very philosophical guy like Brad Stevens is the philosophy can tend to get old. Like the buzzwords can, when you keep saying the buzzwords, they can be tuned out. And I'm not saying the Celtics are tuning him out. I'm saying that when he talks about you got to hit singles. Well, we've been hearing him talk about hitting singles from the day he took the job. And repeating the phrase, we got to hit singles, makes sense, telling these guys, like, this is how you got to do it. You've got to approach this. I also am saying this without having been in the practices. Like, I don't know what it's like being in practice. And sometimes in practice, maybe he is a taskmaster. I don't know. We don't get a chance to see that. But I think there are opportunities for him to be a little bit tougher. Even, like, for example, I believe that in that Charlotte game, he should have taken a little bit more control of that game rather than let those guys try to figure it out. He should have tried to run some plays. Once he saw Jason Tatum grab a rebound, come down, 4 seconds later, jack up a three, like, that's the signal. That individual type of play is the signal to say, okay, this is what we're going to start doing now. Okay, I got to call a play for Jaylen Brown, who's the hottest shooter on the team in this game. Let's go back to running it through Jaylen Brown and seeing if he can create something, even if it's to draw defense and pass. But I think when he sees those things happening, he has to take greater control and maybe have a little bit of a shorter leash and either call plays or sub other guys in or do something to take that back from the players. I know he wants the players to figure it out. I think it's obvious that this team this year, this group is not figuring it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, there's no one single issue you can point to. For the first 20 games, it was the offense that sucked. And Marcus Morris was one of the best players on the team.
Right.
Now it's been the defense that has stunk. And Marcus Morris is missing a lot of threes regularly. And so it really is. It in a lot of ways, this has been a tough team to coach beyond just the team dynamic aspects of it. Goes to, like, who do you trust on a nightly basis? And I think that's part of the Celtics issue is that, like Steven said, they have a lot of guys who are alike. And there's no hierarchy. Like some teams have a hierarchy. With the Bucks, it's like Giannis, Middleton, Lopez, Brogdon, whoever else. With the Warriors, it's Steph, KD, or KD, Steph, whatever, Clay, Draymond, Iggy, everybody else. With the Celtics, it's like Kyrie, Al, and what?
Right. And everybody thinks they're next.
Yeah. Every single person probably thinks they're the third best player.
Right. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Remember, like,
some of those guys might think they're better than that.
Right. I feel like at the beginning of the year, we talked about this exact same problem, that there's no hierarchy. There's no one, two, three. Like, it used to be, it would be Kyrie, Hayward. Like, the plan was, after they traded for Kyrie, it would be Kyrie, Hayward, Horford, boom, boom, boom. That's your three best players. And if Hayward was healthy, that would be fine. And everyone else would have to fall in line because Hayward's a damn good player. But trying to work him back, I don't want to rehash everything. I'm just going to spend a lot of time repeating everything. But trying to work him back was the right thing to do, but it raises questions. And these are some of the consequences. Sometimes you do the right thing for one guy and it's not the right thing for the other guy. And, you know, with 12, 15 guys on the team, you can't do what's right for every player at the same time. Like, on this team, what is right for the team as a whole is not right for each individual player. And there's a handful of guys on this team that need to get that through their damn heads or else this team will go down as one of the most disappointing in Celtics history. Maybe the most disappointing in Celtics history. They have to understand that, and this is where Kyrie has always had the right point about the young guys. They have to understand that at some point they have to fall in line. And it sucks, and it's not what they want to do, but they have to fall in line and play the role that they need to play for the team to succeed. And that's not jacking up the first three that you get. That's not trying to take your guy off the dribble every damn time. Even if you think you have a mismatch, sometimes you just got to work the ball around and you've got a good shot. Maybe there's a better shot. So, that's deep grained stuff, man. That's ingrained in people. I don't know. They have the ability to do it, but I don't. How can these people change something so fundamental about their games in 2 weeks?
Pass the ball. Go screen for Kyrie.
Right. Something. All right. I am done talking about this team for this night. It's super early. We're wrrapping up just about 2:30 in the morning, and I've still got writing to do, so I am wrapping up the show. Again, you can subscribe to the Locked On Celtics podcast everywhere podcasts exist, even the new Himalaya podcasting app. Check that out. Of course, you can find us on Twitter. Jay is at @ByJKing. I am at @RedsArmy_John. For all of you new listeners who aren't following us on Twitter, Twitter is our social media of choice, so follow us there. And all of you new listeners, I hope you're subscribing. All of the regular listeners, 5-star rating, good review, please, 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 and share the podcast. Tell everybody, listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.